Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports of the Legend. I'm my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course,
William Mamo.
What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
I'm good, man. Glad to have you on the show, as always.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. Thank you, man.
No, thank
and
you.
And I'm glad to have and I'm glad to, you know, have, you know, you ladies and gentlemen, check out this episode as well. If you want to call in, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these upcoming topics. We're going to give our takes on the Super Bowl. And is it the worst Super Bowl ever? We're going to dive right into that. We're going to talk about the Real Muto trade as Phillies finally acquire the former Marlins catcher. We'll talk about Porzingis getting traded to the Mavericks and, you know, the domino effects of that with all the teams rumored to be involved with Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant and, you know, all the NBA news and rumors there. And, you know, wrap it up with a little WWE. But most importantly, you know, we'd love to hear from you. That's 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to let your voice be heard. But, yeah, let's just get into this Super Bowl. And, man, what a stinker. That is easily the worst Super Bowl ever, from the commercials to a mediocre halftime show and everything in between. Like, that was a way of watching that game. Like, if you checked out the previous up and the TV too, you would know that, you know, I picked the Patriots to win. But, man, I did not think it was a game like this. Goff looked like he didn't even want to. Yeah, I mean, let me look outside. It's like Goff just got knocked down again and got sacked again. I mean, come on, this guy was not ready. He should just shoot a game against the Saints, you know. Let Drew Brees take a shot. that was I mean, if you would tell me that you would hold the Patriots to only 13 points the entire game and you lose, I would not believe that. I mean, come on. Like,
and 3 points. They held them 3 points in the first half also.
I know. It was 3-0.
Yeah, it was
3-0.
That would be enough.
And that was the second worst score in a Super Bowl. The previous, I think it was Super Bowl 9. I think it was 2-0. I think it was 2-0 or 2-2. No, I think it was 2-0. I think it was 2-0, if memory serves me right.
Was that what Super Bowl was that? I
think
remember you were talking about it.
Was it Vikings? I think it was Vikings. Pittsburgh, I think.
I think so.
In any case, yeah, that it was a clunker, man. And man, the Patriots they just hanged into the game, man. I mean,
that's why Patriots are great.
I mean, what could you? I know. there's no doubt how great Tom Brady is, man. No matter how far he is, how down his team is, you know, he's always going to come back, as evidence in the Kansas City Chiefs game, the AFC game, which everybody, you know, and their moms was picking the Chiefs to win, you know. I mean, don't get it twisted. I was rooting for the Chiefs too, but, man, I just can't bet against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I mean, it's like betting against Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar, man. It's like they always win. They always win, man.
True.
That's not, like Paul Heyman says, that's not a prediction. It's a spoiler alert. Those guys always win. And another thing, if I'm rooting against somebody, you better believe they're gonna win. So that's another thing. I had a feeling they were gonna win too. So, but yeah, what can you say? Tom Brady,
I mean,
you know, he does it again.
The Patriots, they played like the Patriots, you know, when they're in this
mm-hmm.
big spot. You know, they don't make mistakes. You know, they play precise. They take advantage of your weakness and capitalize on it. And they did that with
exactly.
the Rams. The Rams
Absolutely.
Couldn't move the ball at all in that first half.
Nope.
Or in the second
they
half.
They could not. Yeah, the whole game. I mean, only like towards the fourth, they started to get a little something going. You know, when they, when they finally got a field goal. I mean, after they had millions of opportunity, not to mention, the Patriots kicker missed that first field goal. But man, as much as I wanted to get into that game, you know, because I was watching it with, you know, some friends at an event, and like I could count on my one hand when I was actually excited the whole time, because I was just waiting for that other shoe to drop. Because, you know, even though the Patriots weren't firing on, you know, offensively on all cylinders, but you know, the game was close. And if the game is close, you know, which obviously the Patriots led practically the whole game, you know, the Patriots are going to win. You can't let the Patriots come back. And it goes all the way back to that Falcons series from years ago. If you give the Patriots even a little sign, a little glimmer of hope, you're going to be looking up at the lights, because they're going to overtake you and defeat you. And they won't give you a second chance.
Yep.
And that's what happened. And that's why Tom Brady is hoisting his sixth Super Bowl champion, and Junior Edelman is the MVP. So, you know, congratulations to the Patriots.
Go.
Much to my chagrin, but, you know, congratulations to them, you know.
Goat.
They barbecued the Rams. So
seriously. I mean, they are a dynasty, man. They
mm-hmm.
what, this is their third title in 5 years, I think. You know, and
yeah, they've been, this is their sixth championship out of nine, out of three tries. So they just, you can't stop them. If you have a Patriots team and you have Bill Belichick as the head coach, and you got Tom Brady still, you know, at quarterback, you're gonna win. Because if you look back at the years, the supporting cast always changes, but those are the two constants that club always has. And unfortunately, at the end of the season, it always ends up with them kissing the Vince Lombardi trophy. So,
yeah.
And
it doesn't look like they're going to miss a beat.
Yeah, man, as a Jet fan, man, it looks like, you know, that until Tom Brady retires in the next seemingly 3 to 5 years, you know, unless if they're facing Eli Manning could get the Fountain of Youth. Or the Eagles, man, they're gonna just keep adding on to that total.
Well,
so,
you know, those other teams in that division need to do something, man. You guys need to do something. I mean, come on.
Yeah, we need Darnold to live up to his potential. you know. But we'll see what happens. You know, they did make some coaching hirings with Williams and Vitt, who's Gase's father-in-law, and not to mention they worked together in the Saints during the Bounty Gate scandal, where Vitt allegedly testified against Williams, but apparently they put their differences aside, and now they're going to be one happy family, you know, under Gase as the new head coach. So hopefully the Jets can, get a good draft pick and spend that alleged, that reportedly $100 million, salary that they have free, they have $100 million, cash to spend reportedly this offseason. So hopefully they could spend it wisely.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with that.
You know, Patriots need some competition, man. There's been years where you've had the Dolphins, you've had the Jets win it here and there. But, that AFC has been dominated by the Patriots for the last almost 20 years, pretty much, right? So some of these other teams got to step up, man. Can't expect the Giants and the Eagles to beat the Patriots all the time.
Yep. It's true. that is true, man. So, we'll see. Congratulations to them. Got to give them their due. But one thing I will not give them credit for is being an underdog. Because, come on, they're acting like when they were like they had a parade before the before they went to the Super Bowl. Obviously, they had a championship parade afterwards, and they went to Disneyland. But before, they had like a rally, before they played in the Super Bowl. And, Tom Brady was like, we're still here. Like, dude, you guys are going to win the whole thing. Like,
some people didn't think they were
going to
beat the Chiefs.
What happened?
Some people didn't think they were going to beat the Chiefs. In the AFC,
but
I didn't think they were going to beat the Chiefs,
Well, I did. But they're like, we're still
here. I thought
the
Chiefs were the best team all year, me personally.
Well, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. So.
But postseason is a whole different story than regular season.
Well, Patriots almost lost that game. Let's not forget. They almost lost that game.
Well, yeah.
So they won that game by
Tom Brady,
luck.
They would have lost that game.
Oh, yeah. But so that's when they began the whole underdog theme right before that Chiefs series.
But some tells me I don't think this is just a new thing because of the Chiefs series. I think inside they need something to motivate them because they're the dominant Giants. So they need to still feel like this us against this world kind of mentality for them to propel themselves and not get too, egotistical and expect themselves to win. You know, so I think that's what I think that's all part of their gimmick of, they're like, hey, it's the fans and the Patriots, and the coaching staff against the whole world who wants to see them get knocked down. And they want to twist it to a underdog kind of story.
Yeah, they definitely use that as a motivated factor.
And, hey, it worked. So I guess you got to give them credit.
Yeah.
Another cringeworthy thing that happened, was after the game. And that was, Joe Namath, the Super Bowl III champion, handing the trophy to the Patriots, man. It's, like the only great heyday of the Jets, basically handed it over. I'm passing the torch essentially to the Patriots, the team that dominates the AFC East.
Yeah, that's Well, it wasn't as – I don't think it was as cringe because, you know, he never played against the Patriots. But, yeah, I mean, he is a Jet.
Well, yeah.
But
no, I think for a Jet fan, a modern-day Jet fan, not – obviously, he had none to – you know, he has no beef with the Patriots. I mean
– right.
But I'm saying as a Jet fan, you know. But, I mean, it is what it is. If the Jets would have been in the Patriots spot, it would have made the moment a lot more epic.
True.
But, you know, unfortunately that wasn't in the cards. So, yeah, we'll see what happened with that. But moving on, the Phillies, they finally got the biggest fish in the offseason trade-wise. You know, JT Realmuto, everybody has been rumored to get the JT Realmuto, the Yankees, the Mets, the Braves. I mean, you name every team in the major leagues, you know, they've been rumored to get the get JT Realmuto. Even the Yankees and Mets were rumored to make a three-team deal just so that, you know, JT Realmuto could come to New York. But as you know, it didn't come to fruition, and basically, the Marlins just was, you know, trying to fleece everybody. But at the end of the day, they had to settle for the three prospects they had, you know, in that trade: a Afalo, you know, who's a catcher, and then like two pitchers they got.
Phillies are gonna be nice next year. This upcoming season, they have a good roster.
Yeah, and they might not even be done because they're going to they're rumored to try to go after Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, most likely Bryce Harper. So they're not done yet. Of course, you got the Braves. You know, they're always in it. They got the young hitting, and good pitching as well. I mean, it's a tough division, you know, for the Mets to try to win.
Oh,
the only
team
they have, they can't. And then you got the Nationals too. You know, the Nationals signed Corbin, and you know, they made some moves. So, I mean, the Mets are improved, but you know, this division is not they're not going to run away with this division like in 06, you know. And I don't know. I don't think you could. Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, Brody Van Wagner, I appreciate his passion. You know, he thinks the Mets are the team to beat. And he said, come get us to the other teams in the division. But I don't think he made enough moves to put them over the top. I think he made necessary moves to get them to, you know, a good team. But I think they're like a move or maybe two away from being a championship caliber team. You know, but
well, you got Machado,
you know,
and Harper still out there.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen. I mean, if any of those guys are coming to New York, they're gonna be put on the pinstripes. But you know, we'll see what happens with that. But you know, hey, congratulations to the Phillies. They got that big acquisition, and they might not even be done yet because they, you know, like we said, those two big fishes out there are still available.
Oh yeah.
But I'm hoping and I'm praying that, you know, they'll sign elsewhere. But if not, hey, Mets got that pitching, that young pitching, and of course Vargas, but I'm not mentioning him, but yeah, they got those four young starters, you know. So, I think the Mets are going to be back, and I think the offense is going to improve if they stay healthy. So I think Mets are going to contend. Worst case scenario, I think they'll be a third in the division, but if they live up, if they hit to the back of their baseball cards, you know, they could very well win the division because of that great starting pitching they have, and they improved the bullpen with Diaz and getting Familia, who was their closer, who's pitched great for the Mets, other than the 2015 World Series, thanks to the defense and that quick pitch that led to a home run in Game 1 of the World Series. But Familia, he's been great, all the way up into that series. So having him as a setup guy, a guy who pitches well in New York, that's a plus. They got Justin Wilson, who's a good, setup guy. And then you have Lugo and Gesellman, in the pen. So they're, I think they're definitely improved. I think that I wouldn't be surprised if they win the division, but they got to play over their heads and they got to stay healthy. So that's the key to the Mets winning this division. Why am I like, basically that's the way they got to do. They got to stay healthy.
Phillies and Braves are going to be tough, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And
the Nationals. Don't forget the Nationals, too.
Yeah, it's going to be a tougher division. Mets got our,
mm-hmm.
they had the Mets had some acquisitions also. You got the Robinson
mm-hmm.
Cano trade. So you got some guys, but if they could get Harper or Machado, that'd be a game changer right there.
Absolutely. But, shifting gears to NBA, and of course the Porzingis trade went down last week, and Porzingis is now a Maverick, it was a shocking move, because Porzingis was always groomed to be the franchise player, but, due to injuries, he could never stay healthy and live up to his potential. And then, he had, a bad relationship with the front office, ever since Phil Jackson days. So, as a result, he allegedly demanded a trade, and within 2 hours, he was dealt to the Mavericks. The only good thing about the deal is that, they got cap space so that they could potentially pursue, free agents such as Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, so on and so forth. But, they gave up on Porzingis, a guy who has so much potential. It's sad to see him go. But another good thing about him being traded is that, they got rid of Tim Hardaway Jr. and Courtney Lee's contract, to allow that flexibility, to sign the aforementioned free agents. But the one thing they got to remember to do is that they cannot overspend for mediocre players or players who are not superstar players. That's what I'm afraid of. For example, Jimmy Butler, he's a good player. Kemba Walker is a good player, but those cannot be the two big free agent acquisitions, and you can't overpay for them. You cannot give them Kevin Durant or Stephen Curry or LeBron James type money. It's best they just hold. If they can't get Durant and Anthony Davis, in the summer of next year, or Kyrie Irving, or any of those top guys, they should just save their money, and just draft the right way.
The Knicks should have found a way to keep Porzingis. When Porzingis is healthy, he's a top 20, 25 player in the NBA. The guy can
shoot.
He's athletic, and he has room for improvement. He's still a young guy, a lot of potential. I mean, they should have found a way to keep him, and then they could have traded some of the other guys like Hardaway and Kanter, freed up cap space, and got another superstar, paired him with Porzingis, and got a draft pick. You know,
that's the
what they should have done.
Yeah.
But they traded him away, and they didn't even get that much for him. I mean, I know they got Dennis Smith back.
I know.
He has been good so far, but...
Who they could have drafted in the first place instead of Ntilikina.
Who they should have drafted, yeah, because Ntilikina is a bust right now. But
yeah, unfortunately.
I feel they should have gotten more for him, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. They should have got more. They should have traded him, you know, when his stock was high before he got injured. Because we literally got nothing. Other than Dennis Smith Jr. and cap space, we really didn't get anything back for him. I mean, DeAndre Jordan, he's a good player. I'll give him that. You know, he's been averaging a double-double ever since he's been on the Knicks. You know, he got another one today. I think he at least scored 10 points and 14 rebounds. I don't know his final stats, but he had at least a double-double. I know Mitchell Robinson was close to a double-double. He was three rebounds shy of a double-double last time I checked out the game. You know, the Knicks lost their 16th straight earlier today. No surprise there. But DeAndre Jordan's main job is to mentor Mitchell Robinson and turn him into, you know, DeAndre Jordan light. And, you know, basically another reason why they're keeping him is because he's good friends with Durant. So maybe they could have DeAndre Jordan sign for the minimum $5 million. And, you know, hopefully lure some superstars to come. But they got to keep Knox, who scored 20 points today. Yeah, I mean, that's what they got to do, you know.
Zion.
And hold on to Zion. You know, just keep doing what they're doing. That's the only thing that they're good at, losing. Even though it hurts my heart seeing them lose every game, because I mean it's against, you know my DNA to see my team lose, but you know it's part of the process, unfortunately. You know.
I stopped watching the Knicks long time ago.
Well,
I don't know why you do this to yourself, man.
I saw season one, but I lose, so I wasn't watching the whole thing. I saw a little bit here and there.
I watched the highlights, but then again, there's not
the highlights
to watch.
Basically, some dunks here and there.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically the highlights. You know, Dennis Smith Jr., man, he's a walking double-double, triple-double dude, man. Like, his last game with the Mavericks, the day before we traded for him, he had a triple-double against us, but I guess the way how we've been playing, it's not saying much, but the guy has talent. He has potential, you know.
He does. We definitely need to keep him.
Yeah, and Kevin Knox, you know, he's had some bad shooting nights. He got potential there. Dennis Smith Jr. and Knox, they're going to compete, you know, in the All-Star games, you know, the rising All-Star and the Slam Dunk. Slam Dunk is for Smith Jr. And Knox is going to play in the rising All-Star game. So congrats to them. And, you know, they got to build on that, you know. And I would even say I would even trade, you know, Davis for them, you know. I would just wait 2020. If he wants to come here, let him come. But we'll see what happens with that. And back to Anthony Davis, you know, he stood pat. You know, they didn't trade him. And, you know, he's going to remain with the Pelicans for the rest of the year. The Knicks didn't trade Cantor or Wesley Matthews, the other guy they got in the Porzingis trade. And as a result, Enes Kanter and Matthews are free agents where they could sign with postseason teams. And this is where the Knicks messed up here. They should have never, like, benched Kanter. They played their card way too much, because if they were still playing him, he would have had trade value, and then they could have got at the worst case scenario, a pick or two for him. And Matthews too, because those guys could help a postseason team. They would have got a pick for them instead of just releasing them, because everybody knew They're not going to hold on to those guys, especially Cantor. And that's why they got nothing for them. You know, it was a waste of time.
Yeah, man. They got waving Cantor like that. I mean, it's a waste. Like, at least you could have traded. They could have traded for him and got something, you know, out of it.
Yep. Exactly. They really played their hand badly. They really played their hand badly with that one, that situation. What was your thoughts on the NBA trading deadline?
Well, I thought the big winners was Philly. I mean, they got another scorer, Tobias Harris. And
they traded away Fultz.
Yeah. But they got like 20-point scores in a scoring lineup. I mean, they should be the favorites now to go to the NBA Finals out of the East.
Yeah, they don't got to worry
about
LeBron.
So they
are
clearly the winners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it was a slow trading deadline. AD didn't get traded. And there was some reports saying that he might be traded to Lakers. That never happened. So
yeah. I think that's going to happen in the offseason. Even though the Pelicans are trying their hardest not to trade him, because reportedly the Knicks are on equal footing with the Lakers as possible landing spots for him.
Mm.
And then you know, Kevin Durant, you know, he had a tirade with the the reporters, because you know, he felt like every time he opens his mouth, his words are being twisted by the media. And literally, when he opened up his conversation, he said he doesn't know anything about the Knicks trade of Porzingis and all that stuff. It doesn't have anything to do with him. And he literally just boldly and honestly said he doesn't trust none of y'all, in reference to the media. So. I guess he's being honest. You don't like that he shut out the media and not answer their questions after the game, but at the end of the day, it's his prerogative. You know, that's how he feels. You know, that's what he's going to do. And the most important thing is that, you know, the Warriors are just winning, so they're just going to look the other way. What's your thoughts on this?
If I was an athlete, I'd probably grow impatient with some of these reporters. Because some of these reporters ask you the stupidest questions and most annoying questions also. I'd get impatient and smack a dude. You know? But KD, KD, he's going to hear coming to the Knicks. I mean, this is gonna be a free agent, so he's gonna hear that a lot now. So he has to handle it.
Yeah. And speaking of the Lakers, you know, they were rumored to be training for, like we said, they were training for the rumor to trade AD, and apparently people were heckling Ingram and saying LeBron's gonna trade you. to Ingram while he was sitting down. Obviously, it didn't happen yet, so I guess Ingram can rest easily until the off season. But speaking of hitting people, Becky Lynch in the WWE, she got suspended because they want her to take they want her to get a medical report, I guess, you know, check to see if she has any injuries with her knee that she suffered since the Royal Rumble pay-per-view event against Asuka. So she didn't want to test it because she won the Royal Rumble, even though she had a bad knee. And as a result, since she didn't want to have the doctors check, you know, to see if she has any serious injuries, she's suspended from her scheduled match against Asuka. So as a result, she attacked Stephanie on Raw, which led to her suspension, following her suspension. And then on Tuesday night, she slapped Triple H, Stephanie's real-life husband. So
Becky's on a rampage.
Yeah, Becky, she can't be stopped. You know, that's the man, you know, that's the most popular superstar easily right now in the WWE. So,
oh yeah.
Gotta give her credit. And SmackDown, last week, Daniel Bryan unveiled a new WWE title, which looks extremely hideous. I mean,
that shit looks ugly.
It is one of the ugliest titles I've ever seen. It might be the ugliest title I've seen. Like, it's really hard. It's really horrible. And of course, you know, after the Royal Rumble, you know, during his Rumble match with AJ Styles, Eric Rowan attacked AJ Styles with the referee not looking to secure the title defense for Daniel Bryan, the new Daniel Bryan. So yeah, that's basically what's going on in the world of WWE. In AEW All Elite, Chris Jericho recently signed with that company, and Kenny Omega, he now joins that organization as well. So, you know, WWE, you know, this All Elite, they're signing some of the top wrestlers in the world, and some of the wrestlers from WWE are rumored to be leaving, like AJ Styles is rumored to maybe even be leaving too, because his contract's going to end after WrestleMania. Dean Ambrose's contract, if it's not a work, and he's seriously going to leave the company after WrestleMania, I mean, that's a possibility too, you know. Who knows? But yeah, this is WWE's biggest threat since WCW, or even maybe, I guess, TNA, that when they got Hogan, were trying to make that noise, which didn't really amount to anything, because that same night, Bret Hart made his triumphant return after the, like, what was it, 13 years after the Montreal Screwjob. So right off the back, even though the TNA had Hogan and, you know, some other, you know, stars from the WCW past, you know, they still can't surpass WWE.
I hope Dean Ambrose stays, you know. I mean, his character is different from, you know, his previous character, but I think there's more potential for him in WWE, more things that they can do with him, you know.
Yeah. There's that, you know, eventual Shield reunion. Without him, you can't have that. Unless they try to remake the Shield. Unless they try to remake the Shield again and put somebody else in his place, which I don't think would work. But you know, that's always a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, once Roman Reigns fully heals from his from the leukemia that he's battling. Roman Reigns is currently, he's on the set with his cousin The Rock, on the Shaw sequel movie, which aired at the Super Bowl. So that was, you know, that was great. That was one of the few highlights at the Super Bowl.
Yes.
You know, the commercials. That one, the NFL one with the greats of the past and the present battling out for the football, and then of course you had the brief scene of the girl who she's apparently a good football player. She's 14 years old, and you know, people view that she's gonna have, you know, a bright future in football when she grows up. So people were, you know, inspired by seeing that commercial. And yeah, that was probably one of the few good commercials they had at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there wasn't that many. There wasn't anything that stood out during Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah.
But
But yeah, that's, you know, that's basically it, man. You have anything you'd like to say quickly?
Check out my show, iMac on Saturdays 10, and come back here and check out Sports and Religion. It's Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio.
You heard them. Check out this show every Saturdays at 11. Check out Sports and Religion TV only on YouTube. And check out iMac every Saturdays at 10. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace.